Grief is something that we will all encounter. It's not if, but when. Facing grief is inevitable, and many of us have to deal with it. How we deal with this, emotion impacts all of life. First, we need to look at some definitions and clarification of terms. Grief, grieving, and mourning are terms that are often used interchangeably, but there are some subtle differences that we should be familiar with. Grief is defined as a deep distress caused by loss, any significant loss. It is normal. It is a natural response to the loss of life. Grief is all-encompassing. It affects us physically, emotionally, socially, mentally, and spiritually. Grieving is defined as the process of feeling or experiencing grief, of coming to terms with one's loss. Grief is a journey. It is not an event. Grief is not something that we get over. It is something that we must walk through. We never get over the loss of a loved one or something that severely impacts our lives. It is not something that we get over it. It is a process of learning to live with our loss. See Everett Koop. We might remember him. Some of us older ones used to be the U.S. Surgeon General. He had lost his son in a mountain climbing accident. And he wrote about a permanent void in their lives after his death. And he wrote, "People said God will fill the void, but this is not so. Instead, we found that the void is really never filled, but somehow God does make the void bearable. There will always be an empty place in our hearts for those people or things that we treasure the most, but have lost." Again, grief is the journey and not an event. Grieving and mourning are frequently used interchangeably, but we understand mourning as an outward expression of the inner state of grief. Mourning is often displayed by tears. It may be displayed by the wearing of black, a ribbon, an armband. Mourning could be going to the cemetery and sitting by the grave and weep, or even talk to the one we lost. Mourning allows us the opportunity to vent or release our feelings. Grief is natural, and it is a normal process that everyone will go through when we suffer loss. We catch a glimpse of how normal it is by noting scriptural examples of grief. In Genesis 37, verse 35, Jacob said that he would go to his grave grieving his son, Joseph. Job grieved the loss of his children, his wealth, his health, and his friends. David and Bathsheba grieved over the loss of their son. In the New Testament, we have Mary and Martha and Jesus and other close friends grieving over the death of Lazarus. And even Jesus struggled with grief as he faced the cross. In Matthew 26 and verse 38, it tells us that his soul was very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Friends, this is deep grief, serious grief, even to the point of death. Have we ever felt like we were going to die with grief? Jesus did. Before we get into how to appropriately deal with grief, I need to say something about grief that I personally have found very important if we are going to deal with this subject properly. First, the process of grief. When we suffer loss, we are going to grieve. The only questions are, is how and when. We can put off our grieving, but we cannot suppress it. Some think that grieving is a sign of weakness, but it is not. We will grieve. We may not do it publicly, but we may grieve in the traditional ways, maybe in our own individual way, but we will grieve. And so the advice is, let it happen. Let it happen. Grieving is healthy, so you must not suppress it, stuff it, or run from it. If you think real men don't cry, Jesus did. Don't try to hold up under it. Let nature have its way and grieve. Grieving is the only way that we can get back to enjoying life. Secondly, grief is a personal thing. No two people grieve alike. We may grieve before our loss, as we anticipate it, like Jesus did in the garden. We may do our grieving during the process of the loss, as in the death of a terminally ill family member or a close friend, as Job did in his continuing troubles. Or we may grieve after the loss, like David and Bathsheba and Jacob and their losses. Some choose to put off their grieving for months or even years. This isn't good, and it can cause some serious emotional, social, and health consequences later on. It becomes obvious that we are going to make the journey of grief. So the sooner we get started, the quicker we will resolve the issues before us. But this comes with a warning. We must not force others to grieve in the way that we want them to grieve. Let them choose the time and the way to deal with their loss. Thirdly, why we grieve. The answer is wrapped up in what we call future expectation. We grieve because we are not going to enjoy what we have suddenly lost. We're not going to enjoy the future together that we wanted so much. We're not going to get to enjoy the children growing up or going to school or falling in love or even having their own children. We're not going to enjoy the retirement that we worked so hard to make possible. We're not going to enjoy the fruits of our labors in a job or a business that we may have spent 30 or 40 years working in. We grieve because we have lost the future expectation built around that which was lost. We grieve because we have lost a dream. But how do we walk with our grief? The best way I can say is we look at Christ grieving in the garden. The night of his betrayal, the day before his death on that cross. First, Jesus talked about his loss. He talked to his disciples about his death long before it occurred. When you read John 14 and John 17, he gets into the conversations that he had with his most closest friends. He taught that he was going to suffer many things, that he was going to be rejected, that he was going to be killed, that he would rise on the third day. You know, we've probably heard some folks, when you're trying to talk to them, they say, I don't want to talk about this anymore. But that's wrong, because we need to talk about it. Grieving people need to talk about their loss. They need to rehearse their dreams that are dying with their loss. If you find yourself in grief, find someone to talk about it, someone to listen, someone that you can confide in, someone you can say what you want to say and know that it is going to stay right there. This is good therapy. We just need to do it. It's been found that when we verbalize our doubts, our fears, our wants, our dreams and losses, it helps us walk the walk of grieving. But here's a good place to talk about those of us who are trying to help others. We don't have to have the right things to say. We all say that, I don't know what to say. You don't have to know what to say. Because there is nothing that we could ever say that will take away the loss. We're not going to be able to heal the hurt in their heart. So why try? Just show up and listen. Don't say anything. Listen. A good rule of thumb in this is if they talk, you talk. If they're silent, you're silent. And secondly, Jesus cried. Crying is therapeutic. It is a God-given response for dealing with severe loss. Crying is a positive behavior. In Romans 12 and verse 15, Paul writes that we are to cry with those who are crying. Mourn with those who are mourning. In John 11, verse 35, Jesus, he wept with Mary and Martha and Lazarus' friends. He was touched by the loss of a friend. He's also touched by the hurt of those who loved him most. I truly fear for those who cannot or will not cry. It is indicative of some very deep problems. Certainly a lot deeper problems that probably need professional help. Another form of crying is the lament. Lament is a protest, a question. The book of Lamentations is Jeremiah's lament over the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem. And I seriously doubt if there has been anyone who has been caught up in deep grief that did not question God and ask why. We've probably screamed at him. We probably yelled at him, asking him why he did this. Why did he allow this loss event to happen? You know what Hebrews 5 and verse 7 says? In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him that it was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. When Jesus grieved in that garden, he cried. On the cross, he cried in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? He If you're grieving, do not feel guilty about crying. If you're around one who is grieving and crying, don't stop them. Let them cry. Let them question, for Jesus did. People say, don't cry. Everything will be okay. It's all right. Don't cry. Folks, it's not all right. It's never going to be all right. They've suffered or about to suffer a loss that nobody else can relate to. Every loss is a unique event to the person who is undergoing the loss. But we should just let them cry. Let them question God. Let them lament. Let them yell and scream. After all, He is God. And He's the one who understands like no one else does. Walking with grief means that we must deal with our guilt. Sometimes our journey through grief is sidetracked and even wrecked because of guilt. Jesus taught us that we are to forgive so that God can forgive us. And grief cannot be properly dealt with as long as we are holding a grudge. Let it go. Ask that person for forgiveness, even if they are gone, even if they are dead. God knows what is in our hearts. God will help us deal with the feelings of guilt. And the same principle applies if we are the one who needs to say, I forgive you, before God. Telling them out loud, calling their name, that you have forgiven them and released them, absolving them from all wrongs and the hurts that they have caused you. What did Jesus say hanging on that cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This act released Jesus, allowing him to walk through his grief and to pass over, to finish what God had started in the very beginning. But resolving our issues ought to be done soberly and sincerely with a lot of prayer and involving God as our witness. Our walk through grief will not be successful until we resolve our guilt. Here's the one problem that we typically come across, especially for an older family member who has passed on, and that is about making decisions during times of grief. Remember when we said earlier that the grieving process involves all of life? That it takes all of our thoughts and energies? When we are going through that, there is so little left that it is very difficult to make important decisions. And this is where we need help. In times of grief, we need to allow others to walk with us in that journey. Jesus needed company the night in the garden. He chose his three closest friends to be there with him so that he would not have to walk that journey alone. During the journey of grief, one should never make life-changing decisions. The best thing to do is to wait a while before making decisions that affect us or the ones that we love the most, like moving, or selling our home, our cars, our stocks, or whatever. Because grief inhibits our ability to see things clearly, and it inhibits straight thinking, and this is where we must exercise caution. And then finally, in times of grief, we need to express our faith. We need to strengthen our faith so that we can catch that glimpse of hope. In the garden that night, Jesus was there. We see his absolute faith and trust in his Father. And he expressed that faith, not my will, but thy will be done. When he was on the cross, it was, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It's obvious in Jesus' prayer that he did not want to face that cross. He did not want to bear that ugly death that was awaiting him. And he knew that his Father could and would take this evil, painful process and turn it into something good. Something good for him, but more importantly, something good for us. And nothing helps in times of loss like leaning on those everlasting arms. He's the one who can help, so we need to cast our cares on him, because God cares for each of us. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. In John 14, Jesus knew that his disciples were about to experience a tremendous loss. Their Messiah was going to die on the cross as a common criminal. And so, he took the time to strengthen their faith. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Isn't that what David was doing in the 23rd Psalm? Strengthening his faith? In John 11, in verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In our losses, we need hope. And God and Christ is our hope. When it seems that grief is about to overtake us and to destroy us, strengthen your faith. Renew your hope by reading these tremendous passages in the Bible. And read them again and again and again. And if you are called to comfort someone else, nothing works like the divine comfort from God's Word. Read it to them. Grief is going to come. We can't stop it. But we can avoid a lot of heartaches and mistakes if we follow the example that Christ has set for us in that garden and to take his advice. You know, when my father passed away in 1994. I really wasn't ready to lose him yet. All through his funeral service and the burial, I never shed one tear. For to me, it was a blessing that he did not suffer any longer than what he was going through. My grieving came much later. Much later. And I should never have allowed it to go that far, but it did. And to this day, I think about him more than I ever did that day. It is a extremely painful process that many of us have gone through. And I truly feel for our children who are going to have to experience that at our passing too. But if we can pass on these things, if we can show them these examples, it will help them when their time comes. Grieve the way you want to grieve, but grieve. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need of our prayers, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe tonight is the night you decide that you want to give your life to Christ, that you want to put on your Savior in baptism, your repentance and confession, and a burial in this water behind me. You can enjoy life as never before, free from the bondage of sin, free from the death of from the sting of death. If there's anyone that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.